What's good? What's good? We are back. Yours truly, one and only Paul Pickett, a.k.a. Triple P, a.k.a. The Common Sense Podcast, your source for music, sports, politics, what events, and much, much more. We got a guest coming on in a few. We're going to give him a little bit of time. If I look like a hot mess, it's because I am, man. Literally, that freaking air conditioning unit went out like yesterday or late Friday or so. We got to wait till like tomorrow to somebody come check it out, but it's hot as all hell. So yes, I am a hot mess. Give our guests a little bit of time. We are live on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. Appreciate everybody tuning in right now. Look like a lot of people came in on the Instagram. Appreciate y'all. Boxer Tricks, Never At Promotion Series, Shanine 7030. Okay, here's our guest. So as you know, most of my interviews are from fighters from the BKFC, which is Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship. Every now and then I interview some guys that are in MMA and boxing as well. I see my guest popped up, but I don't see his camera just yet. Let's give him a little bit of time to, all right, there he goes. All right, so my next guest basically has about seven bare knuckle fights under his belt. He's coming live right now from New Mexico territory, which is basically where the next BKFC fight card is located. Let's bring on the one and only Harrison the Headhunter Aiken. Harrison, how you doing, man?
What's up, brother? Thank you for having me on, man.
Anytime, man. How's the weather out there?
Awesome. We actually just went up to, I think it was 11,000 feet elevation. We did some elevation training today. We literally just got off the mountain. I was like, oh, yo, I got to hurry up. We got to get on this podcast. So, yeah, we just got down to the bottom. But, yeah, it was intense. You know, you can definitely feel the air is very thin. We did a bunch of rounds up there. And, yeah, man, trying to get my boy ready. So
we're going to get to that, too. And I know you got somebody you want to, I think, call out. And we're going to get to that. I want to, you know, kind of just get to know you as a person and a fighter. So you started in MMA and decided to move into bare knuckle fighting. Why did you ultimately decide to make that move?
Well, I was a pretty decent amateur fighter. I held two titles. I held two titles, two different weight classes. BKFC came around. Joe Elmore is one of my best friends.
Okay.
So Joe, I saw him fighting and I was like, man, this looks like something I'd be really interested in. And, you know, I was still an amateur, so obviously I hadn't had any pro fights yet. And, Joe was like, you definitely need to go do a tryout. So I flew out to Kansas City, met with Nate Shook, met with Chris Lytle, actually got to meet Dave. And this was like one of the first tryouts that they were holding. Mm-hmm. And I was the only amateur there. So it was over 50 guys there at the time. And they were only signing five people that day. So I really, you know, went out there hoping to God that I'd get a chance. They actually ended up signing me. I was the only amateur at the time to get signed. So, you know, it gave me a leap of faith, told me, you know, come out swinging, do good, fought Zion Tomlinson, who was actually another amateur at the time. We were both Ammies, and then we both took our first pro fight at Bare Knuckle at the Toe the Line series too. So, Bare Knuckle was obviously a different world for me. I was a boxer, MMA fighter. I went out there and tried to box and did not go my way. Yeah. So I've actually changed a ton of things since then, you know, to make me more dangerous as a fighter. It's definitely not boxing. It's definitely not MMA. You have to have grit. You have to be able to sit there, take punches, give punches. And, you know, it until you're in there and you get in, you've had a little bit of ring time, you don't really get too comfortable in there. Now that I've had my last three fights, I've actually gone the distance. So I've really gotten to be able to get comfortable being in there, getting into firefights and stuff like that. And, you know, I've sort of hit my stride now. So I'm really starting to feel myself do well within the BKFC. I've, you know, jumped in the rankings a little bit. Obviously did lose to Donald Sanchez my last fight, but, you know, he's a dog. We were the only fight on the New Mexico card to go five rounds. So if that says anything, you know, I prepared myself very well for that fight.
I think that always says a lot when the fights go five rounds.
100%.
I think it always says a lot. So, like, some fighters, like, pre-fight, they play music to get amped up. Like, what do you typically do to get amped up before a fight?
I pray. You know, it's crazy. Okay. Yeah, I pray a lot. I'm a very, you know, a lot of people, I can sit back and laugh at it now. But, you know, I'm a very emotional person. I came from a dark past. And what I went through these past few years to get to where I'm at today is just my life is full of gratitude to be able to be at the top and fighting these elite fighters and, you know, getting to where I am today. It's like, and I have two daughters. So, like, you know, for them to see their dad come from really dark places to be where I'm at today, it's just, it's a blessing, honestly. And I get to share my testimony with other people and other fighters and people that are down and out to let them know, you know, there is a way out of addiction and depression and things like that. And my last fight, I was very humbled. I was very, you know, very grateful for the opportunity. I told BKFC, you know, this is a once in a life opportunity. Donald Sanchez has over 80 something professional fights. So I knew going into his hometown up against a huge veteran, I had to really, really train hard. And I did. And, you know, obviously it showed by, you know, me going through some hard shit and getting back up and fighting and changing. I was able to change, you know, after I got dropped the first time in the first round, I switched back to southpaw, which is my natural stance, and actually turned it into a real fight. I just was not comfortable being orthodox, which was my whole game plan, the camp. My time was like, you're right-handed, you need to fight right-handed. Well, I've been fighting left-handed for 12 years. So it really messed me up with my confidence a little bit. But, you know, got in there, I changed to what I really know well, which is southpaw. And I was able to sort of get myself back into the fight and then actually put on a good show.
So your first fight was against this guy, Adriz Wazi. Is that how they pronounce it?
Yes, sir.
And, like, how much did you know about him going into that fight?
Not a lot. I mean, I did know that, he had fought for Bellator. He'd had a decent, MMA career. You know, he'd been in and out of the game for a little bit. And then, he has fought, in a lot of different weight classes. So I really wasn't sleeping on him at all because he went from a heavyweight to 185, and I'm like, okay, this dude has the same story as I have. Yeah. I went from heavyweight to 185. I was like, and the guys that he was fighting, like Steven Townsville. He dropped Steven Townsville, and I was like, okay. I watched his fight. I was like, this dude can bang. Like, he really can fight. So, you know, I saw that he was a back foot fighter. He's a counter fighter. So I knew that I had to pressure him most of the fight to be able to, you know, sway the judges. He ended up actually dropping me in the second round. And, you know, then I really, really had to push the pace at that point to show the judges that I was going to take these rounds. So, you know, I won the first round. He won the second round. And then I won the rest of the rounds in the fight. But it was a very, very, very close fight. It could have gone either way, honestly. And I think that my aggression in the later rounds showed, you know, the difference in that fight, which gave me that majority decision win.
Like, I know a lot of guys say, like, one of the hardest challenges for them is to make a living as a fighter. Like, what's been one of the hardest challenges for you as a fighter?
You know, I own my own business, so I do pretty well in that.
That's good.
I have great sponsors. I have over 20 something sponsors. Some of them are pay me financially. Some of them handle my recovery. So I've been very blessed to have a big team around me that will help me, you know, further my career. And, you know, they believe in me. They believed in me when I was, you know, had trouble believing in myself. And, you know, they've seen the growth that it's taken me over the past 2 years when I got sober. They were like, listen, man, you've changed your life. Get back in there. You have something to offer to these people. And so, you know, I'm very well taken care of as far as, you know, the financial aspect. Obviously, you know, my record is 3-4 now. So I want to get paid what some of these, you know, elite fighters are starting to make, but I have to have the record to show it, and it needs to reflect that way. So, you know, I'm actually planning on dropping down to 175 now.
Okay.
And I've put in a lot of work to get down there. And so, yeah, my plan is to go down there. I'm going to keep a very close eye on this Mundell and Sanchez fight. And, you know, my plan is to go up. My job is to win a world title. That's it.
Like, so that's Mundell's weight class, the 175?
Yes, sir.
Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Now, I be seeing these videos where guys be punching like trees, or, you know, like people will punch rice. Like, what's the deal with it? Is that toughen up your hands, and is that helping bare knuckle at all?
Yeah, well, with Donald, he actually does the strength and conditioning. He has this like board where you actually punch, and it's up against a beam. And then he also takes his hand and he puts it in rice and twists, so it helps strengthen the muscles around the fingers and the ligaments and stuff like that, which he says works really well. I actually do bare knuckle rounds on a tire, which is very hard on your hands, and it beats them up. But
yeah,
I can only do it once a week. My hands are tough as shit from it now. But you know, at the beginning, my hands were so swollen after doing, I would try to do 5 rounds. Now I'm up to doing 10 rounds on it. But yeah, it's literally, you're tapping it. You can't hit that thing as hard as you want, or your hands.
Yeah.
But I like to do the tire just because it's movement too. The tire moves with you, and you can work different angles and things like that. I feel like stationary objects and stuff like that don't work as well for me, because I want to be able to utilize my footwork, head movement, all while strengthening my hands.
So, yeah, you fought Sanchez. I know you were saying some of the game plan going in earlier, you were talking. Do you feel like you stuck to that game plan?
No, yeah. Well, when I went right-handed, he dropped me off of his first punch. So as soon as I got dropped off the first punch, I was like, not happening. I'm going back to where I'm comfortable. And then I actually turned it into a fight at that point, because, you know, I did get dropped first in the first round twice. And so when I went back to my corner, they're like, are you woken up yet? I was like, yeah, I'm good. Like, I'm good. And they're like, all right, now we want you to go southpaw, and we want you to implement your game plan, not your coaches, not nobody else's, but your game plan. And I started, you know, working on getting my lead foot on the outside, because, you know, southpaw versus orthodox, you always want to have, it was a foot war, hand war, foot war. And I started implementing my technical abilities that I know as a southpaw, and I started touching them up pretty good. And it became a really good war. You know,
was that fight of the night that night?
No, the Dodson fight was the fight of the night. They had
talking about Eric Dodson versus that was a good fight. Yeah,
they dropped each other like 8 times.
Yeah,
it was insane. And that fight was right before my fight, so I was like, oh, we're gonna have to really show up now.
Yeah, that was a really good fight. Now, how did you end up like training with Sanchez after you fought him?
Okay, so, funny story. I actually trained with Mundell two weeks before I got
for real.
Here. Yeah,
that's my guy. I love Redneck Mundell, man.
So I was in Clearwater for the fight, and we ran into each other, and I was like, hey man, I want to see what that number one pound for pound's like. He was like, all right. He was like, yeah, cool. He was like, we'll link up. So after the fights, we talked, and he was like, yeah, let's link up. So we met at the UFC gym in Largo and we sparred. We got a lot of rounds in that day. And then, you know, Donald and I are friends. We've been talking ever since after our fight. We have that mutual respect for each other. We're both warriors. That's what's up. We went in there and we put on a war for his fans, my fans. And, you know, once you share a ring with somebody for that long a time and it being so raw with bare knuckle, you just have to have that mutual respect. So we had been talking about getting me out here, but I was also going to be on the Albuquerque card and I was going to be fighting one of his teammates. So it was going to be a conflict of interest. So we were like, yeah. We might have to hold off. Well, my fight fell through. So it ended up not being on this card. And we had to, you know, squash a little. There was no beef at all.
Yeah.
Me and the opponent. But out of respect for his teammate, I told Donna, I was like, hey, man, you need to talk to your boy and see if it's okay. You know, I'm really big on loyalty. And I know Donald is as well. So we had to make sure that it was, you know, good for both parties for me to come out here. And we had been planning for a long time for me to come out here for him to get ready for Mundell. It just so happened that I ran into Mundell and we just last minute sparred. And now, you know, since my fight fell through, I came out here and he was like, listen, I'm flying you out. You're going to stay out here for 5 days. And, you know, I'm right-handed southpaw. Mundell's right-handed southpaw. I'm a little bit bigger than Mundell, just because I'm a 185er. I naturally walk around at 200 pounds. But you know, now I'm starting to lose a little bit of weight and stuff like that. I'm walking around 195 to 200, just depending. But yeah, man, like it's a good look for Donald just because of my skill as a southpaw. But I think definitely I respect both guys. You know, I'm more obviously of a friend with Donald than I am with Bell. So yeah, obviously, you know, I came out here for a reason to help him. But, you know, I'm going to be keeping a very, very, very close eye on the winner. And even Donald I've told him, I was like, you know, my plan, my job is to come after that world title belt. So whether it be you or Mundell,
you or him, yeah.
I'm like, I'm helping you get ready. But if I go on a 2-3 fight win streak, you're next.
Yeah.
Like it matter if I came out to help you or not. This is what I want, and this is what's going to put my family in a financial it'll separate me from where I am now.
So do you think Donald has a real good chance to beat Redneck and take the title?
Yes. Yeah, I just being here and seeing how hard he's been working, it's gonna be a dog fight. And I know they both train hard. You know, obviously I've trained with both of them now, but this dude day in and day out is just like he has put all of his eggs in this basket. So I think that he's coming and it's going to be a war. I don't expect it to go out quick. I expect for both of them to be bloody, and I expect for both of them to get knocked down and get back up, and I don't see anybody taking any way out. Except it's going to either be a knockout or a 5-round war.
Yeah, I hope it goes a little bit of distance. I mean, last couple guys that fought Redneck, you know, they didn't last too long. So,
yeah, they got smoked, and he's really good on his entries. You know what I'm saying? He's very patient. He works well on his entries. He's got He's got great check hooks. He's got great overhands, and his timing is almost perfect. And he's got great defense. He's got great head movement. He's got great blocks. So obviously sparring him, I see this. I'm like, oh shit, I got to be a little bit more careful now. I'm like, this dude's blocking my punches and coming back and getting in on me. And I'm like, okay, now I'm going to have to be a little bit more tight. So yeah, man, there's obviously every man has his day. And is it going to be Mundell's day or is it going to be Donald's day? It just depends on who. I think it's just going to depends on who's willing to go through hell. And I know Mundell, he's the cream of the crop. He's the number one pound for pound champ for a reason. So is he doing what it takes to stay there, or is there going to be a new king of the division?
Now, didn't you have somebody you wanted to call out or something?
Yeah, this dude's been ducking everybody, though. So it almost becomes irrelevant at this point. You know, Josh Dyer just won the middleweight division. He called out Mike Perry. I've been calling out Mike Perry for, shit, I don't know, probably months now. There's a backstory to it. You know, I was down at Hollywood, Florida a few years ago, and Mike Perry, I'm a very nice person. I like to introduce myself to everybody, especially if we have mutual friends and stuff like that. Yeah. So I got to introduce myself, say what's up. Hey, man, what's going on? Well, this dude has like a security guard with him at the time. And like, you're a fighter, you don't need no fucking security. So his security like pushed up on me, and he's like, nah, dog, you can't be talking to him. And I'm like, well, fuck you then. Like, you don't know who I am. Next thing you know, I have a drink thrown in my face, and I look over and it was Mike.
Oh, and shit.
Like, what the fuck? So I'm ready to fight. The cops grab me because I'm literally getting ready to swing on his bouncer and trying to get to him. I get escorted out, ended up getting kicked out of the arena that night. And they were like, listen, man, we don't want to take you to jail. We know you're within the BKFC, but you just cannot be doing that. It was the same night that him and Julian Lane got into a fist.
That was the same night?
Same night, dude. Same night. So, needless to say, I've been calling him out. He won't even respond. Like, he's been calling out my fighter, Cam Delano. So, okay. My Delano is getting ready for one of his first fight, hopefully in Texas here in the next month or so. But he's responding to a guy who has no experience in bare knuckle. He said, yeah, because he's got followers. And I get it, you know. He wants a check. He wants this and that. But I'm like, you came up to the 185 division, but you're ducking everyone. Everyone that's good. And you won't respond to Dyer. You won't respond to me. And I don't even have that.
Or Redneck.
And Redneck's a 175er. So why are you ducking all these dudes?
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, you say you're a gangster. Be a gangster then. I don't care if it's on site. Like, if you want to fight, let's fight at the fucking on the side of the road. Like, that's how I rock. I don't care. I don't need the glory of everybody watching, but I just don't like the dude because you disrespected me now. And I feel like I have to show you that shit ain't going to slide.
I don't personally know him, and I don't like him, man. I've always felt like he's ducking people. I feel like the BKFC is like preserving his record. They're trying to, you know, stop him from getting beat, keep him undefeated as long as possible. He's like the golden goose at one point.
Yeah. Well, and then everybody knows that's that money fight because
Mike, yeah.
Such a big name. And like, congratulations to him. I don't knock nothing. Anybody that wants to make money and do good like that, that's awesome that he made it like that. But the fact is that you disrespected me and I don't like you now. And if I see you, it's not going to be no friendly conversation. I'm just going to punch you in your fucking face and I'll deal with the consequences later. So I've been calling this fool out. Everybody I know has been calling this fool out, and he won't respond to real fighters that have put in the work and been here for a fucking minute, but he's willing to, you know, try and take the easy way. I'll take a guy that just came into bare knuckle, that has a million followers, that I know that I can possibly beat, and you want to take that easy way out, but you walk around like you're a fucking gangster. So which one is it? Don't play both sides of the fence, homie.
Yeah, and I think, to be honest with you, when he got beat by Jake Paul, I think like his BKFC value just like literally plummeted overnight.
And you know what? Jake Paul's a big dude.
So he is.
So see, when he fights dudes that are bigger than him, guess what? All the guys that he has beaten within the BKFC are all 155ers that have met him at 170. He has not fought anybody in the BKFC that has been a 185er or I'm 200 and something pounds cutting 5.
Yeah.
Josh, 200 and something pounds cutting a 185. He don't want that, bro. He's small.
Yeah. That I ain't gonna lie, he's probably my least favorite guy at the BKFC. I know a lot of people be trying to hate on Kai Stewart, but Mike Perry for me, I got an old BKFC mat in there, and I step on his face every day when I go to get something out of the refrigerator.
Yeah, that's funny. That's funny. Yeah, man, so, it is what it is. You know, yeah. I seriously doubt I'll ever get that fight. But you know, if we run into each other, there will be an altercation. So I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, because I mean, just talking to you now, you seem like a really respectable, nice guy. I mean, you called me sir, you know what I'm saying? So I got me feeling old over here.
No, I'm very like to talk to everybody, especially I treat everybody with respect. But when you treat me like I'm less than you, then I'm going to make sure that I make an example out of you.
So what do you see bare knuckle fighting in the next few years? And not just BKFC, but like the whole sport in general.
Man, honestly, I see it. You remember the early days of the UFC where everybody, like the quality of the videos weren't like that great, and you could hear people talking in the background and stuff like that. Like, that was the early days of the BKFC. Now they're on Diamond. They're bro. When they sign, and I'm only talking about BKFC right now, but I mean this for
that's fine
as well. When BKFC signs a major deal with an outlet, like as far as like maybe ESPN, NBC, ABC, they become a billion-dollar industry overnight. So what that's able to do for these even smaller promotions is that gives these guys a funnel to get them up into these bigger organizations. And that just shows like how far they've come from the beginning. Then you see all of these smaller organizations now are on the BK or the bare knuckle train. I even fought in one of these smaller promotions, regional promotions, when I got back. And, you know, first ever Georgia bare knuckle fight ever. That was me. So, and you know, it's taken some time for the commissions and things like this to get it approved, but now everybody's just ready to see it and everybody wants a part of it. And it's growing as a national sport. Then people want to be a part of it. Just like I wanted to be a part of it as the beginning. I consider myself to be one of the OGs of bare knuckle now because I've been here since the beginning.
No, 7 bare knuckle fights is actually a lot.
Yeah,
it actually is a lot because some guys, I mean, only got like one under their belt. And when it hits ESPN, like because ESPN places like that don't even cover bare knuckle. Once bare knuckle hits that, I think it's game over. I mean, because in my opinion, I already think as far as drawing, like just selling tickets, bare knuckle is already passed, or BKFC to me is already passed the WNBA.
Oh yeah,
they're not selling out arenas like that in the WNBA, you know.
They 100%. I was at the Philly card for Knuckle Mania.
Yeah, that was 13,000.
Bro, that was electric. That was one of the coolest things I've ever seen in my entire. And I got to corner somebody in that fight, and I was looking around. And I was like, "Holy crap!" I was like, "They made it. This is it."
So, what advice would you give somebody considering getting into bare knuckle?
Consistency is everything. You know, if you try to find any type of easy way to the top, you won't make it. You know, I've taken very, very hard fights. All the fighters that I have fought are either in contention for world titles within other promotions, or don't try to pad your record because you will get exposed very quickly. You know, and train your ass off. This is a job. If you want to make it to the top, I wake up at 5 a.m. Monday through Friday. I do high intensity interval training. I run 15 miles a week. I spar twice a week. I do pad work, bag work, anything that I can do to make myself better. I'm constantly training 3 hours a week. And when I'm working on my cardio, I'm doing sprints, I'm doing long runs, I'm doing short runs, I'm doing anything and everything I can think of to make a better fighter. And it took me a long time to get to this place, but I'm on a consistency that it's determination. And when when my motivation fails, it comes up to how bad do I really want to be at the top? Like, when it's all about the consistency and the drive. Like, motivation will only last so long. And it's great. A lot of these young fighters are like motivated. Oh yeah, I'm a BKFC fighter, blah, blah, blah. Well, guess what? That will only last a few weeks until you're beat to shit. You're tired. Yeah. You don't want to do it. Your girl's asking you, hey, why don't you hang out with me no more? We used to go out every single weekend. Bro, my girl, she's a grinder with me. Like, she knows when I'm in fight camp, we ain't doing nothing. I'm literally eat, sleep, breathe, fighting. That's it.
Yeah. It's almost kind of good to try to find somebody that's actually in the fight game themselves, right?
Yeah, my girl, bro, she supports me absolutely down to the every single bit of it. She gives me that space that I need to get my mind right. She also helps me with my meal planning. She helps me with the kids. Like, she takes everything away from me. So when I have to focus, I'm 100% all in.
So, do you got a fight to you that's like your most memorable?
My most memorable? Oh, man. I've had a lot of good fights, even with MMA. Are you talking about just bare knuckle?
Just any fight in general.
Oh, man. Honestly, this was a crazy story. So, I was fighting for the AMI title down in Alabama. And I was fighting a preacher.
He was preacher.
There was some bad blood. So all of this fucking shit to me. And I'm like, I'm about to smoke this fool. I came down to Alabama like 100 people deep. And I ended up knocking dude out in the second round, I believed. I was fighting for SBG then. But knocked dude out second round, won my second title. And a dude jumps into the cage. I get into a fight with dude in the cage. Next thing you know, the fans are booing me. I'm flicking off the fans. I'm telling them to fuck off. I'm about to jump out of the ring and start fighting people. Then we get escorted out by the police. We had to get escorted because it was basically a riot. I had fans trying to jump over police barricades to jump into the cage. It was freaking pandemonium.
Is that because you beat up their preacher?
Yes. 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 So it was a crazy story. I almost got arrested that night for inciting a riot, apparently. So we ended up getting the fuck out of that town really quickly.
So I'm guessing they was upset he wasn't going to make it to worship on Sunday.
Yeah, no, he definitely didn't. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, sometimes there's bad blood within this sport. After years went by, we chopped it up. We squashed the beef, but, you know, at the time I was ready to fight 5,000 people in that arena.
Now for that fight, you're from Atlanta, Georgia, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah. I'm actually from Fayetteville, North Carolina. So we ain't too far from, Atlanta, Georgia. So you had like 100 people from Atlanta, Georgia with you?
Yeah, we caravaned. We literally yeah. caravaned Atlanta. It was like 30 something cars deep going down. We packed that whole like they thought that I was just coming out there with my coaches. We had so many people. They were like, "No." I was like, "No, it ain't going to be like this, dude." So yeah, it was a good one though.
Yeah, that's a funny one, though. That might be one of the funniest stories I heard on here from the fighters. So before we let you go, man, any shout-outs you want to do, like sponsors, anything?
Sponsors, man, Activate and Coming. They take care of all my recovery. BRL Sports Nutrition, the best endurance, all-natural endurance supplements. They actually sponsor Olympians. I'm their only bare knuckle fighter that they sponsor. They take care of me. I've actually put a lot of other fighters on with that, with their endurance supplements. I got so many, man. But those are my biggest sponsors. Ink by Kim. I'm sorry if I forgot everybody else, but you know, man, Athlete Performance Solutions. They hooked me up, all Nike boxing gear. And then shout out to BKFC, man. I'm thank y'all for helping me get back in there. You changed my life. You gave me an opportunity to grow as a man. And, you know, I look forward to getting back in there and banging it out with my next opponent. So, you know, next time you see me, I'll be a lot skinnier. But, you know, I'm working hard. You know, obviously I'm out here in New Mexico. I'm getting my boy ready. I'm hoping that he does win, but he's got a really, really tough fight in front of him. So we'll see how it goes.
So, I mean, before we let you go, is there like a specific fight card that you're trying to get on here soon, or like you got a time frame?
I want to go out to South Dakota, and I want to make those bikers just go absolutely
Sturgis. Okay.
Yeah, I want them to. I'm ready. I want to be in Sturgis in August, and I think that would be an awesome card to be a part of. I don't even mind fighting outside. I love it. I just want it to be rowdy as hell, and I want to knock somebody's face off in front of all those people.
Yeah, the Sturgis, I thought, was definitely a successful event. There was a lot of eyeballs out there. And even, like, some people, you know, try to criticize, like, oh, they want all tickets and this, that, and third. It don't matter, man. The sport's still growing. You got to get as many eyeballs on it as possible, man.
100%.
Well, I appreciate you actually hitting me up, man. You're a friend of the show now. So, if you know, when you get your next fight, if you want to come back on for that, you know, talk about that, you know, you're more than welcome. And by the way, you're going to be in Sanchez's corner?
No. Oh, man, I've been traveling so much lately. I just bought a new house and everything like that. So I'm going to be watching it on TV from the comfort of my home. But, you know, I'll be wearing Team Sanchez shirt that night.
That's what's up, man. Well, you're more than welcome to come back on, man. Enjoy the rest of your day, man.
All right, brother. Thank you so much, man.
All right. Peace.
Peace, bro.
Fun interview, man. Couple cool stories there. Like what he said, that was funny about the preacher, man. I guess they was mad that he couldn't make it to worship that Sunday and whatnot, so they got mad and tried to fight him and whatnot. And the Mike Perry thing is interesting. I mean, I never really been a fan of Mike Perry. No disrespect to him, you know, as far as, you know, his value as a fighter and the money he draws. But I think as far as BKFC goes, he's definitely ducking and definitely should have been fighting more fights by now and whatnot. But appreciate everybody tuning in, man. About to wrap it up, of course, you know, like I said earlier, air conditioning unit went out. Freaking hot in here, man. It's hot as all hell. But definitely appreciate y'all tuning in for the Harrison Aiken interview. When I get off here, I'm going to clip up some clips to promote. And really nice guy, really respectful guy. Has a lot of respect for the other fighters as well. And I definitely love to see him, you know, get the Mike Perry fight. I think that'd be interesting, you know. And Mike Perry just seems to have more of a knack for fighting people in the crowd, you know, during the fight cards instead of actually getting on one of the fight cards. But who knows? And don't forget... BKFC 75 Albuquerque Mundell versus Sanchez, which he's actually training with Sanchez right now. And he did spar with Mundell a couple weeks ago. And that's going to be interesting. Sanchez definitely deserves the fight, being that a couple ranked guys just lost recently. Dakota Cochran just lost recently. And Zeb Vincent just lost recently. And Mike Perry's scared of Redneck. So that only leaves Donald Sanchez or Doug Coltrane, but I think Coltrane already had a shot at Redneck, if I'm not mistaken. So that, yeah, basically leaves Sanchez. So this is going to be his shot. I don't know how many opportunities cats are going to get in bare knuckle at the title, so he's going to have to capitalize on this opportunity, you know, this time, man, because it could be 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 fights before you get another title shot. But appreciate y'all tuning in. Don't forget, we go live on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. Audio version, we'll go to Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Deezer, TuneIn, Stitcher, Slacker, iHeartRadio, Player FM, and much, much more. And the video version also will be downloaded and uploaded to Rumble and Millions.co. Go check us out, Millions.co. We got the new litter apparel on there as well for all you dog lovers. I repeat, for all you dog lovers, go check out millions.co and just search for Paul Pickett Podcast. Make sure y'all like, subscribe, comment, all that good stuff. And we're about to hit you with that outro. And peace. We out.